Thank you for directing your internet connection to this sermon audio page for Christ Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Learn more about Christ OPC by visiting our webpage at www.christopcatl.org. Currently, Christ OPC is meeting on campus each Sunday at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for worship using social distancing protocols and assigned seating. Sunday school is offered to children and adults at 9:30 a.m., concluding at 10:30 a.m. for a brief time of fellowship before the 11 o'clock worship. A volunteer staffed nursery is available for Sunday school and the 11 a.m. worship. Nursery volunteers and children receive temperature checks prior to admittance. Please contact the church through its website for additional information and directions.
Turn your Bibles together with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 153 to 160. This is the prayer of the psalmist when he was in trouble, when he was going through affliction in life. I look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless and disgust because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Amen. Affliction is very hard to bear. Even if you know that it is coming, it is still hard to endure and put up with. It is still hard to understand why you are experiencing that affliction in your life, even as a believer. About 4 months ago, my family and I received a very disturbing news of the passing of our nephew Isaiah. My wife's brother's eldest son, who was 17, and for the past 2 years he suffered from Wilson disease. And as a family, we know that one day a dreadful news like that might come to us. But still, because of the loss of a son that we experienced last year, and now another loss of a child of a brother-in-law, the sorrow was doubled. It was extremely painful. But I can assure you one thing to all of you tonight. The Lord has been faithful to our families. The Lord enabled us to endure affliction and suffering through His Word or by His Word. And I share this testimony with you all as a declaration of God's faithfulness upon us as a family during a time of affliction, but also to show you that what we see here in Psalm 119 is the same pattern of the Scripture's teaching on the ministry of the Word of God in the life of believers in times of affliction. Why do you think God has given us His Word? Yes, God gave us His Word so that through His divine revelation we would know Him and we would know ourselves. And we would worship God according to His Word. we would bring glory to God according to His precepts. But you also need to remember that God has given us His Word as a tool for us to use it in times of affliction. There is this ministry that we see in the Scripture, the ministry of the Word of God, in the life of believers, men and women and young children who loves the Lord, who are believers. We have this ministry of the Word of God in our life in times of affliction. And the psalmist tonight is teaching us three distinguishing ministries of the Word of God in the life of believers who goes through affliction. The first one is God's absolute care in times of affliction, verse 153. The second one is God giving us life in times of affliction, verses 154, 156, and 159. And then thirdly, the truth of God's Word in affliction, verse 160. So, consider with me the first ministry of the Word of God in the life of a believer who is going through affliction. God's absolute care in affliction, verse 153. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. In your time of affliction, have you ever been tempted to utter the words of the old spiritual song? Maybe some of you would remember it. Nobody knows the trouble I have seen. Did you ever feel that way in times of affliction? No one understands what I'm going through. No one understands me from inside out. Have you been there in a Christian life as a believer? You know, feelings like those makes your suffering worse. If you only think about other people around you who doesn't understand your suffering the way you want them to understand, but you don't think about God. You don't think about the Word of God. You don't think about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life as a suffering Christian who is going through affliction, then your suffering, your affliction will go worse. Because you think no one can properly wear your shoe and walk with you. But not this psalmist. Notice the life and the faith and the confidence of this psalmist on God. Look on my affliction and deliver me. The psalmist knew one thing in his life. He knew the one and the only one who would understand his suffering and his pain completely, fully was God. He knew that he had God in his life when he was in affliction. And you know how he knew that? Because he knew the Word of God. He knew the Scripture. He was dwelling in the provisions of the Word of God for his life, because he understood what the use and the benefit of God's Word in his life was. And the Word of God taught him that God truly cares for his children in their affliction. We see him crying to God for deliverance. Look on my affliction and deliver me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we worship a God who understands your pain, that anyone on this planet can. And you know why that is the case? Because your God has been in your shoe. He knows about your affliction. And when I say that, some of you, maybe you are saying, of course, He is sovereign, He is omniscient, He is all-knowing God. Of course, you know, because of that attribute, God would know everything about my suffering. But there is more in the Scripture. God understands your suffering completely and fully and the way you want Him to understand your pain and your feeling, because He wear your shoe. How? The same God who is sovereign, who is omniscient, who knows everything about you, became man. He took human flesh. He was there like a man, fully man, perfect man, but with all feelings that a man would have in his life. You see, the writer of the Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 4:15 and 16, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Why did Jesus become man? Yes, He became man in order to atone for our sin, in order to reconcile us with His Father. But you also need to remember, He became man in order to identify Himself with us, in order to understand us, in order to be there for us when we go through times of affliction. Jesus was hungry. Jesus was thirsty. Jesus suffered. He was afflicted on the cross, even before He went to the cross. Jesus experienced what every one of us here on earth experience. Do you know Jesus was a homeless? Children, do you know that? There was a time that Jesus, in His earthly ministry, He even didn't have a home. He was a homeless man. Why? Second person of Trinity, God Himself. Why homeless? Why was He rejected by authorities? Why was He insulted by men whom He created in His own image? Why? So that He would identify Himself with us. Like what we read in the book of Hebrews, so that He would sympathize with you and I. You see, the psalmist knew that. That's why you see, he came to God in prayer and he said to God, look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. The psalmist look on my affliction and deliver me. You see, the psalmist was saying, I know you completely understand my affliction and pain. I know mercy and grace and help is found only in you. That's why he was declaring. That's what he was declaring. That's what he was acknowledging about God. You all would remember Hannah. When she was in trouble, when she was going through affliction, in 1 Samuel 1, 10 and 11, the Word of God tells us this. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord. Just think about that. She was deeply distressed. And then she threw her hands and she said, no one understands me. No, she was deeply distressed. And then the Bible says, and she prayed. When you are deeply distressed, when you are deeply troubled, when you are going through deep darkness in your life, the doctor might tell you that you have cancer. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. Maybe you are not succeeding in life. Maybe you have lost your job. Whatever affliction you are going through, at the moment that you feel you are deeply distressed, go to the Word of God. Pray to God. Listen to what the Word of God tells us about Hannah. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction, the same prayer, if you would look on the affliction of your servant, and remember me, and not forget your servant, but you will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Now notice the intent of her heart, the objective of her prayer. Yes, she wanted God to look upon her affliction and deliver her, but she also told God, once you hear my prayers and remove this affliction from my life, and you give me a son, and then I will give this son back to you. I will serve you with the same gift that you will give to me, that you would give me in this life. Secondly, in times of affliction, the ministry of the Word of God for you and I is God, through His Word, gives us life in times of affliction. Let me read the three verses for you. Verse 154. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. And then 156. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. And then 159. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. Three times in his times of affliction, the psalmist pleaded with God to give him life. Now you need to know this. He was not praying for eternal life. He was not praying for spiritual deliverance. He was delivered. He was a believer. He was a servant of God. He knew God. That's why he was praying the way he's praying. What he's praying for now is for physical deliverance. That's the reason why he was crying to God, pleading with God for physical deliverance. And what is this life that he's telling us that God gives us life in times of affliction? This is what he means. Because of his affliction, his heart was about to faint. His heart was about to give up. As Christians, we are like a candle. We are the light and the salt of the world. When we go through times of affliction, we come to a stage in our life where we're about to lose that light. As a candle, we're about to lose that light because we have been overwhelmed by our affliction. We might stop praying. We might stop going to church and worshiping God because of our affliction. Now, he's saying, revive my soul. Revive my heart. Give me life. Restore that zeal, that affection that I had for you. But now because of my affliction, I'm about to lose my light. I'm sure some of you have been there. When your spiritual life became weak, you stopped even coming to church, maybe calling your pastor, calling one of your elders, you know, no one cares. This is difficult. You find your own life there in that situation. What do you do? You see, the Word of God tells you that God, through His Word, revives our heart, revives our soul. Sometimes you pass through churches, you know, by churches here in Atlanta or other places, and on the signboard of the church, you see the word revival. You know, from Thursday to Sunday, revival. Come and join us. Who needs revival? Believers need revival. Unbelievers, they need regeneration. They need spiritual life, spiritual awakening. You and I, we need revival. We need to be revived by the Holy Spirit. We need to be revived by the promises of God in the Word of God, in the Scripture. So God brings us back to His Word. And he reminds us of his promises in the Scripture. And through the ministry of the Word, he revives your heart. He revives your fainting soul. And then you stand up. And then your love is restored. Your passion is restored. And then you come to church and sing joyfully, even in the midst of your affliction and pain. That's the ministry of the Word of God. That's why you need the Word of God in your life. We need the Word of God, not for, you know, to understand our theology, to understand our standards, which is important. We should do in our life as believers, as members of Christ Church. But we also need the Word of God to minister to us in times of affliction. And in times of affliction, brothers and sisters in Christ, God understands you. I met a woman one time in Dubai when I was visiting one of the Eritrean churches over there. And she approached me and she was telling me about her affliction in life. She lost 3 children at the war between Eritrea and Ethiopia because of border conflict. And then she also lost a lot of money she was trying to invest, and then she didn't succeed. She was broken. She was in deep distress. And this woman, after telling me about her trouble, she said to me, "You know, I have no one in my life. I have no one on my side." And she went on, "I have no one, I have no one." And then finally she said to me, "Except God." And I looked at her. I said, "Woman, if you have God, what else do you need?" She looked at me and she said, "You know, you're right. I have God. What am I saying?" But she was overwhelmed by her affliction, by the trouble that she was experiencing in life. So we miss the point, and we tend to forget who God is and all His promises to us. But the psalmist here, you see, in 150, he prayed this prayer. "They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true." You see, the enemies of the gospel, you know, in his case, in this specific stanza, his enemy was his affliction. His enemy was those who were afflicting him, who were persecuting him for no reason. And he said, "They are near to me. They are about to, you know, about kill me, about destroy me." But then he came back to his senses and he said, "But you are near, O Lord. They are near to me, to harm me, to hurt me, but you are nearer to me. I have you. I have you." So brothers and sisters in Christ, when you are afflicted, when you go through a time of spiritual crisis in your life, remember God is always with you. And He understands your pain. And lastly, you see, the truth of God's Word helps us in times of affliction. Notice verse 160. He said this, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." Now, I want you to grasp, to understand what was going on in the mind of the psalmist, who the psalmist was in his relation to the Word of God, his view of the Word of God. For this sufferer, for this psalmist who was going through affliction, the sum of the Word of God was truth, and every righteous rule in the Word of God was eternal. For him, it endures forever. For example, in verse 144, the psalmist said, "Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live." And then in 152, "Long I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever." You see, the same psalmist reminds us that the Word of God, the law of God, has been established in heaven, and it endures forever. You see, he concludes his cry, his plea, by dwelling upon the surety of the truth of God's word. My friends, do you know what the psalmist is saying here? Whatever the transgressors, whatever the wicked are saying about the word of God, despite all the statements, false statements that they're making about the law of God. But for me, he's saying, for me, your law, your precepts are pure and they endure forever. This is what the psalmist is saying. The book of Genesis is true. The book of Revelation is true. The books of Moses are true. And the Gospels and the Epistles are true. You see, every word in your law is true. It is eternal. It is infallible. It is inerrant. And then he's saying, you know, I can bet my life on it. It's true. Now, in your relationship with the Word of God, my friends, are you like the psalmist? Is every word in the Bible true and endures forever for you? Do you always stand on the truth of the Word of God with confidence, with boldness, with courage? Even in times of affliction. When people whom you know in other places, you know, in a workplace, in school maybe, or in business, when they come to you and when they say, you know, I always read the Bible, but I think sometimes the Bible contradicts with itself. I read the Bible all the time, but can I really rely on the Bible? Everything that the Bible tells me. What do you say to them? Do you sometimes say to them, you know, only my pastor can answer that question. I don't know. Maybe the Bible contradicts with itself. No. You should never say that. You should tell them this. The sum of the Word of God is truth, and every one of His righteous rules endures forever. You should bring them that point and tell them, no, there is no mistake in the Bible. There is no error in the Bible. The whole Word of God is true and it endures forever. So brothers and sisters in Christ, what does the psalmist mean by the sum of a word is truth? Let me remind you some of the promises that God gave to you as believers. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Is that truth for you? Do you rely on this promise every day? Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you, never will I forsake you. Do you trust in this promise? Do you stand on this promise? We all sing, standing on the promises of God. Do you really stand on the promises of God? Without being shaken? John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. That's a promise. When you feel that you're about to cast out because of your affliction, do you say, no, but I have the promise in John 6:37, I will not be cast out. Do you say that? So that's where the psalmist is bringing you tonight. So, beloved, remember these three things. in your Christian life. Whenever you go through affliction, remember what the Bible teaches you, what the psalmist teaches you. In times of affliction, you always have God's absolute care. In times of affliction, God gives you life. He revives your fainting soul. In times of affliction, the word of God is always true and it endures forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, Lord, thank you for teaching us your word tonight, once again reminding us that if we have you on our side, especially in times of affliction, we will never be destroyed. We will not be removed from your covenant, your grace, and your protection. Lord, tonight I pray that each and every one of us in this place would affirm the truths that we have heard from your word tonight. Help us by your grace to suffer well in this life when you allow affliction and trials to come upon us. Help us to always remember that you gave us your word in order to minister to us in times of affliction. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.